Good morning. This message is brought to you by First Baptist Church of Clearfield, located at 111 North 2nd Street. To hear this and other messages, please go to the church website at fbcclearfield.com. Pastor Matt Brown and his congregation invite you to worship the Lord with them Sunday mornings at 10:45. Here's Pastor Matt.
You can turn your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, and we'll be in verses 18 through 25 as we open up God's Word this morning and learn about it and study it together. We are picking back up in our short Christmas series that I've titled All According to Plan. And I find that Christmas, of course, is a great time to be reminded of the joy and peace that Christ's birth has brought us. But of course, it's more than that, as we're finding out in our series in this birth narrative of Matthew in chapters 1 and 2. Matthew is showing us God's control of history. God had a grand plan in sending Jesus to earth, and it came to be. He perfectly worked history for his good purposes and plans. 2 weeks ago, we started this series and we looked at the beginning passage in Matthew chapter 1. And in that passage, we of course learned about Jesus' genealogy. And we showed us God's providential working and even throughout history so that Jesus came from just the right ancestral line. And now we get to the actual birth narrative of Jesus in our passage today, and we hear about his conception, his birth. And even in this situation, you find God is in control, and everything is going according to plan. And so with these things in mind, as I read the passage this morning, I want you to think about about the ways that God is working his plan in Jesus' birth. So let's read Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and so they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So have you ever experienced a situation that happened against all the odds? You know, it's one of those situations that it's so unlikely that it's almost like it's a miracle that it happened. It could have been, maybe 8 years back or so, 9 years back. If you remember in October, there was like this big snowstorm all out of nowhere in October, or maybe a snowstorm in April. Or maybe it's that person out in the woods and they're lost, and somehow, against all the odds, they survive. Maybe it's a person who on paper, they don't stand a chance of getting a job, but somehow they land this dream job. Or maybe it's in your marriage. Against all the odds, your wife somehow said yes, right? Against all the odds. Many of you may remember the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team and what they did. They call it the miracle on ice. And so you had the U.S. team, which was mostly a bunch of amateur hockey players, and they are going against the Soviet Union, who had all these professionals. They won 5 out of the 6 previous Olympics, and so, of course, they were expected to win it all. And against all the odds, the United States pulls off the upset and beats them 4-3. Those sorts of situations amaze us because it's almost like they seem like a miracle. The miracle on ice, it seems like a miracle. Like, how could this happen? And in a much greater way, we find a story that was a true miracle. Against all the odds of what is normal in the world, God intervened in history and worked his plan. And so we see in this text God miraculously intervening. And of course, we'll learn how through the story, but that is the question today. But how? He intervenes. And so when you think about the word intervene, if it's of course when something or someone prevents, they alter a course of events. And so when you think about God intervening in history, you must think of it biblically. We know all things are under the control and providence of God. So if you think about it, God is always working in history. But there are some instances where God miraculously works in this clear and evident way, what we would call miracle. Think of Israel. God sustained them. He provided them on a daily basis. And so just the natural providence of helping them each and every day. But then you had in their history times where he really evidently worked in miraculous ways. The Exodus would be one, the wilderness wanderings, providing manna and water at times. You think about defeating their enemies and so on. So most often we know God uses normal processes, normal events of life to accomplish his plan. But then there are also times where he clearly, evidently, miraculously works in time so that his power is very clear to us as people. And this is one such event where God uses supernatural means to accomplish his purposes. He, as we would view it, he intervenes in time, in history. And we see that through Jesus' birth. But how does he do so? We see first that he conceived Jesus by the Holy Spirit. This, of course, as you know, is a truth that is foundational to the Christian faith, the virgin birth of Christ. And so we're told that Mary and Joseph, they're betrothed, they're engaged, and Mary is found to be pregnant. We're told that this pregnancy is from the Holy Spirit. And so, of course, what this tells us is that this is not a normal conception. This is a miraculous one. Only God could do this. What happens here is humanly impossible. But as God says in Luke, nothing is impossible with God. We all know, humanly speaking, you just can't conceive out of nowhere. Yet God does this, and he does it the miraculous. Mary conceived because the Holy Spirit brings life into her womb. I know, of course, we want to know details. We aren't given details, but we know the broad details, and we must accept them. We must be okay with them, realizing that God can do the impossible. Mary conceived because of the Spirit, and it was a miracle. And this miraculous conception is important because it pushes us to see the nature of Christ. Christ was not just a human, right? He was fully man and fully God. He is God. He is sinless. And the way that God planned his birth made it so that he could take on flesh, yet also be God. And so that's why it's important. Again, it's hard to understand this complexity. Like, how does that all work out, being fully man and fully God? It's hard to grasp our mind around, but we can accept it when we believe it and, in a sense, understand it broadly. And that's what we're called to do because the Bible tells us these things. And so only God could do this. It was a genuine miracle. There's a story in the Daily Bread of the Wright brothers, the one who flew the airplane. And it says, in December 1903, after many attempts, the Wright brothers were successful in getting their flying machine off the ground. Thrilled, they telegraphed this message to their sister Catherine. We have actually flown 120 feet. We'll be home for Christmas. So Catherine hurried to the editor of the local newspaper and, and showed him the message, and he glanced at it and said, "How nice, boys will be home for Christmas." And he totally missed the big news. Man had flown. And I wonder how many of us miss the big news of Jesus' birth. We say, "How nice, Jesus was born." But do we really think about the miracle that happened? The miracle that now has impact for us in our eternal lives. Only God could do this miracle of conception. But also, only God would be loving enough to do this. Think of it. God sent His only Son to this fallen world in order to suffer and die by crucifixion. The Son of God was despised and rejected, spit upon and mocked. Yet, out of love, God did this. He sent His Son. He determined to be with us. He determined to save us. Only God is loving enough to do such a thing. And it's good because we needed God to do this. We needed God to intervene. We needed God to intervene and conceive Jesus by the Holy Spirit because we were in our sins. We were in need of forgiveness. We were condemned by our sins, separated from God. And yet Jesus' coming meant that He could be now our representative. He could pay for our sins. And that's why it's important for Jesus to be fully man and fully God, because He had to be made like us in order to pay our penalty. And He also had to be sinless. He had to be God in order to be the proper payment, that spotless lamb. And so that's why the angel tells Joseph, "Name him Jesus, for He saves us from our sins." He will save His people from their sins. There's this quote that I like, which says, "If our greatest need would have been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us the economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior." And that is our greatest need. That's why we needed Christ to come. And God did so out of love, and He did so by conceiving Him by the Spirit. God intervened in history and showed His power and His presence through Jesus' birth. Christian, this is the God we serve. His power is unparalleled, for only He could do such a miracle. His love and presence is seen in Jesus, who is Emmanuel, God with us. Isn't it great that God would do such a thing? Isn't it great that God intervened in history and demonstrated His love for us? Isn't it great that God intervened and sent Jesus to be human and to save sinful humanity? God is a God who intervenes in order to show His power and His presence in order to save. And so we don't have a God who left us on our own, but a God who intervened to save. Of course, the greatest moment was in Jesus Christ, who was born and then died and rose again. But even now He's working. Even now He's intervening. He's working. And one day He will dramatically intervene. He will make all things new, all things right. And that is our hope. That is our hope as we hope in the God who intervenes in history. And it is based on the God who intervened in Jesus' miraculous conception. And so He, of course, intervened in Jesus' conception, but also He intervened, number two, when He changed the mind of a man resolved to divorce. We find Joseph, and he's engaged to Mary. He finds out that she's pregnant, and he resolves in his mind, "I'm going to divorce her quietly." And so from Joseph's perspective, so let's all put ourselves in the place of Joseph right now. In his perspective, of course, Mary must have been unfaithful to him because he knows he wasn't with her. And in his mind, and really from any human standpoint, unfaithfulness is the only logical cause if Joseph wasn't with her, of course. So in his mind, divorce must happen. But even in his resolve to divorce, his character shines through as he chooses to divorce her quietly. You know, see, back in this day, engagement was actually more binding than it is today. Modern-day engagement is, of course, a big deal, but to break it off is relatively easy because there's no really legal binding agreement. But in that day, engagement could only be dissolved by divorce. And so you were virtually married. And so that's why you find Joseph considering divorce. And so Joseph was a just man. He knew what needed to happen. He figured that she broke the Mosaic law, and he felt like he couldn't let it slide. And the law actually said that the unfaithful person should be stoned. But as we know, by the time of the first century, this was very rare that they actually did that. But instead, the woman would be publicly shamed for what she did. But so Joseph is this just man. And so, of course, he seems to be wanting to follow the law, but he also wants to be compassionate towards Mary. He doesn't want her to feel that public shame, but he wants to do it quietly so she doesn't endure that. And that shows amazing character, doesn't it? Because usually believing that your fiancé or that your spouse is unfaithful creates lots of anger. For some people, it creates in you this spirit of, I want to them to feel the shame and the guilt publicly. And that's the situation that Joseph was in. His emotions were off the chart, I'm sure. He was hurt. He was saddened. He had this bright future ahead of him, and then this happens, and it all changed. However, in the middle of this, in the middle of all his emotions and all his contemplation, something miraculous happens. An angel appears to him in a dream, explains what's going on, and his mind is changed. So God had once again intervened in time and made sure that Joseph didn't divorce Mary, but that he would marry her. For it was through this marriage that Jesus was, in a sense, adopted by Joseph and was now in the line of David. If you see, remember from the genealogy, it traces Jesus' genealogy, and you find Joseph is in the line of David. We aren't really given Mary's side, what all that, but what's important is Joseph was in that line. And so God is working it out for his purposes and plans. The normal course of events. Think about this. If God didn't send this angel, the normal course of events would be Joseph would divorce Mary, of course. But God intervened. You see, it's typically hard to change someone's mind when they're resolved to do something, isn't it? Especially if that decision is tied to something very emotional, very emotionally charged, like perceived unfaithfulness. And yet God changed the mind of Joseph by using this angelic encounter. And he did so, how? By calming his fears. Did you notice that? He calmed his fears. And that's how often God works. He determines to calm our fears by consistently, look throughout all Scripture, do not fear. All throughout the Bible, he encourages us to trust him with every situation that we find ourselves in. And just like God spoke to Joseph, he explained many things and he sought to calm his fear. And so for us, we have the Word of God, we have the Bible, and God has spoken to us, he has explained many things in his Word, and he seeks, as you see throughout the Bible, to calm our fears. But how do we respond when we hear God's Word? When he is seeking to calm your fears, when he says, cast your cares upon me. When he says, do not care, when he says, I take care of your needs, how do you respond to those calls? Do we trust him or do we trust ourselves? You see, God used this angel to be clear about what happened with Mary's conception, to be clear about who this baby would be. And this message, of course, changed everything drastically for Joseph. As he doesn't divorce her, rather he listens. He obeys the message. And that's so someone of faith who listens and obeys. Even against, think about this, remember, putting ourselves in the place of Joseph, even against all the natural evidence in front of him, he still chooses to believe God's word. Get this, he chooses to believe that God performed a miracle in Jesus' conception. And really, if you think about it, all of us are faced with that truth. At Christmas, or even throughout the year, we're all faced with the decision, will you choose to believe that God performed a miracle in Jesus' conception? We are all faced with that. And that's what Joseph was faced with. Oh, will you trust me that I did a miracle here? Will you trust and listen to his word or not? In order to do so, we must believe this miracle really happened. But as we know, we have a miracle-working God, right? Something else that this event with Joseph shows us is that God often uses obedient people for his purposes. God desired to use Joseph, and Joseph obeyed. And think of the blessing that Joseph received because he listened, because he obeyed. In the sense of earthly relationships, he got to adopt the Savior of the world. He got to play a part in raising him and teaching him how to work. Imagine all of the excuses that Joseph could have played and run through in his mind. He could have thought, well, that was just a really weird dream, right? I'll just kind of, you know, push that off. He could have easily thought that. Oh, it's some sort of coincidence. My mind is playing tricks on me. He could have thought, it's impossible for God to do such a thing. I'm not going to believe it. He could have thought Mary wasn't faithful. I'm set on that. I'm not going to believe anything else. But yet instead, we find he wakes up and does as the angel of the Lord commanded. He listened. So it made me think, what excuses do we use to not obey God? Do you use any excuse? Does God really expect me to do that? Isn't that impossible? How could God change that person's heart? You know, something that's huge in our day is a trust in feelings over God's word. We're easily guided by our feelings. And when you think about it, Joseph could have easily trusted his feelings over God's word because he was hurt. He felt, he truly believed that Mary wasn't faithful. All earthly evidence pointed to unfaithfulness. And his feelings probably fell right in line with that. But he chose to trust God's word, even when his feelings were many times, I'm sure, pointing in a different direction. He chose to take God at his word. And so you might say, well, of course he listened. He received an angelic dream message, right? Of course. But he still had to trust that that dream was real. He still had to trust that that message was true. He still had to actually listen and obey. He still had to do it. When you think about it, every time that Joseph looked at Mary's pregnant belly, he was faced with the decision, will I trust God or my feelings? Will I trust God's word or what I think? And it was a miracle. I mean, this has never happened before. And yet Joseph trusted God. He took God at his word. Will you listen and obey even when it's hard? Even when your feelings are pointing in a different direction, you say, no, this is what God has said. I will trust it. God determined to use Joseph who is obedient to the message, and it shows us God desires to use obedient people for his purposes. And we get to play a part in his plan. And that's a glorious reality. We get to play a part. You know, we may not be like Joseph. We may not be the human adoptive father of Jesus, but we each have a role to play. But we have to do it. Listening and obeying. Heeding his word. And so we see throughout this story, God intervening in order to bring about the birth of Jesus exactly the way he wanted. He intervened by the conception of Jesus by the Spirit. He intervened by changing Joseph's mind. And through these things, we see that his intervention also completed a promise made long ago. Completed and promised me long ago. You know, we all hate it when someone breaks a promise, right? There are usually two ways to break a promise, either intentionally or unintentionally. So this happens when, intentionally, of course, is when you lie or you just have no intention of following through. Unintentionally is when you intend to do something, but an unexpected circumstance comes up and you just can't. You can't fulfill your promise. It's kind of like you're saying you're going to go to someone's sports game and you get stuck in traffic and it's like, you missed the game, and it's like unintentionally, but you broke your promise. And then the flip side would be intentional, saying, I'm going to go to your game, and then just at the last minute deciding I'm not going to go. Of course, those are two different things. But for us, we often fail on our promises, especially if there's a long time between the promise and the intended fulfillment. Like, there's a big difference between promising something 5 years from now, because a lot could change in 5 years. We're promising something 5 minutes from now, right? I mean, that's a big difference. And what do you see here? Hundreds of years before, God promised that Jesus will be born, the virgin birth of Jesus in Isaiah. Isn't that crazy? So God didn't make this super easy promise to fulfill, like, oh, anyone could do that, right? No. He made a promise that would be a miracle to fulfill because it was a miracle. And that's the glory of God on display. What he says will come to be. He is faithful to accomplish everything that he promises. So you want something certain and sure in life, look to the promises of God. That is something you can be confident of no matter what happens in the world. No matter the ups and downs and uncertainty in the world, this you can be certain of. Because if God can miraculously perform a virgin birth and do it hundreds of years after promising it, then you can trust his promises to take care of your daily needs. If he can do that, then you can trust that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. You can be sure that the one who sent Jesus to be God with us is with us even now. You can be assured that if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. You can rest knowing that all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. And so we see the completed promise in Jesus' birth actually gives us motivation and confidence that he can be trusted with his future promises. The ones that are future, that are going to be fulfilled in the future. You know, so if the promise of sending his only son was accomplished, don't you think the promises not entailing sending his son are going to be accomplished? And that is the faithfulness of God that we can always rest on and stand firm upon. He never once broken a promise and never will. Promise-keeping God who can be trusted. He was faithful at Christ's birth, and he is faithful even now. So are you going through something right now? Look to God's promises. There are so many. There's even books that are promises of God that you can flip through because there's so many. Are you struggling? Rest in his reliability. Are you grasping for something sturdy to hold on to? Cling to his faithfulness. So, of course, undoubtedly, at Christmas, we celebrate the hope and joy and peace that come because of Christ's birth, but we also celebrate the fact that God was faithful to his word. He sent a Savior, just like he promised. He said he would, and he did. And he did so by miraculously intervening in history and completing his promises. And so really, that's what our passage this morning teaches us. God miraculously intervened in history through Christ Jesus' birth. He intervened. Without God's intervention, we would be without hope in this world. Without God's intervention, we would still be in our sins and bound for hell. But thanks be to God that we have a God who intervened. He didn't leave us in our sorry state, but graciously sent Jesus to save us, and he completely flipped the script on our lives. We were dead in our sins, and now are made alive in, with Christ. And so now, as saved sinners, we look back at what happened at Christmas, and we rejoice because we know the baby in the manger grew up, right? The baby in the manger grew up, but not only that, he lived a perfect life. Died so that we could be forgiven and rose from the grave. And that is our Savior. That is our King who was born as a baby for us. Have you trusted in Jesus Christ to be saved? Trust him today. We needed saved from our sins, and God rightly sent Jesus and rightly named him Jesus because it means God saved. We were on our own, but God sent Emmanuel, who is God with us. And all he did was through a miracle. And the truth is, we needed a miracle, right? We needed God to intervene on our behalf. We needed Jesus. And so, as Christians, we never take Christ's coming for granted. If God didn't intervene, then Jesus would have never come because there needed to be this miraculous conception. Against all the odds of what was humanly possible, God conceived Jesus through the Spirit. And only, of course, he could do that. Only he is loving enough to do that. If God didn't intervene, then Joseph would have went ahead and divorced Mary. And then Jesus wouldn't have been in the line of David and been that rightful king. Yet against all the odds, he changed the mind of a man, resolved to divorce, and he obeyed. And through all this intervention, God completed a promise from long ago. And that is our God who displays his glory through saving sinful humanity. There's a story, according to this website called God Updates, there's a story of this father and son, and this guy named J.P. Michalak was driving his son Brent back to college. They had to stop for gas, and so they were using the GPS, and they ended up detouring from their usual route. And then as it turns out, this was no accident. This different route brought the father and son into this path of a fiery crash. But thankfully, the father was an off-duty firefighter, and God put him right where he needed to be. And so they come upon this scene, and as traffic slowed on I-271 in Ohio, this large semi-truck collided with a vehicle, which ended up catching on fire. And so JP, the dad, he pulled his car over and he jumped out to see how he could help. And he noticed this person trapped in the vehicle. And so, of course, and it's filling with snow, with smoke. And of course, the firefighter didn't hesitate, but he went and toward the danger. And he pulled the driver just in time with the help of some other people. And those who witnessed this explosive accident were just in awe of how bad it was and what this man did. And then they said it would take a miracle to survive it. And so thankfully, the right people were in the right place to make sure everyone walked away from that crash. So through divine intervention, God providentially caused that father and son to take this different route so that they could save someone's life. And in a much, much greater way, through divine intervention, God didn't accidentally come upon our need for saving, but he knew it all along. And he lovingly sent his son to save not just one person, but many. Not from the fires of a car accident, but from the fires of eternal damnation. And now, we stand in awe. We stand in awe because it took a miracle. It took a miracle that we desperately needed, and a miracle that we know happened in the conception and birth of Jesus Christ. So will you rejoice? Will you celebrate in our Savior's birth this Christmas? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just as we come upon here another Christmas season. Christmas coming up here this week, and we are reminded of Christ's birth and how you sent him out of love to us, to this world, to save us. And he lived perfectly and died in our place and yet rose again. And we are just so thankful that you would do that for us, people who do not deserve anything. Sinners who don't deserve anything, and yet out of your grace and mercy, you sent Jesus to save. And so we're humble today and thankful today of what we remember and what happened at Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.